The Chicago Bulls have 15 games left, and after a West Coast road trip, they now are going to be in a home stand for a little while. But let's be clear here. The rest of the season isn't really about wins or losses. It's about development of the young players and evaluation of a couple of pieces as well. We're going to talk a little bit about that, plus dive a little bit into the mailbag. Talk about why tonight's game for the Chicago Bulls is probably the closest to a must-lose game we're going to have the rest of the way. We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes. But more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And after a six-game West Coast road trip, the Chicago Bulls come back home for a four-game homestand now. They face off against the Memphis Grizzlies, Toronto Raptors, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Houston Rockets over the course of the next couple, basically the next 7 days. We have those opponents coming in here, with the Houston Rockets being next Monday, and of course the Memphis Grizzlies being tonight. After that, the Chicago Bulls go back out on another four-game road trip as well, with the remaining, most of their games being on the road rather than at home after this four-game home stretch to end the season. And, you know, wins and losses aren't the thing, and we've known that for a while now. Wins and losses aren't the end-all, be-all for the Chicago Bulls season the rest of the way, and that's fine. That's fine. So when you look at what's important for the Bulls the rest of this way is that there are some things. Of course, you have your Bulls fans that want to see the Bulls lose every game, and they get into a tizzy anytime the Chicago Bulls get a win. You know, it is what it is when it comes down to that one, right? The biggest game probably on this Bulls schedule remaining is the game against the Memphis Grizzlies, mainly because the Bulls right now, 3.5 games back of the Memphis Grizzlies for the eighth seed in the tanking standings, right? But, you know, can the Bulls catch up with them? It's a possibility. But the Memphis Grizzlies have lost 7 games in a row. I think it's pretty clear at this point where the Memphis Grizzlies are at with this, right? The Grizzlies also, much like the Bulls, are a team that's probably looking at, you know, having, you know, having the best record possible. I mean, the worst record possible, so they can have the best odds at the lottery. The Memphis Grizzlies have the second toughest schedule remaining in the NBA the rest of the way. They do have one game more than the Chicago Bulls left. They have 16 games, where Chicago Bulls have 15 games with the 20th easiest schedule remaining in the NBA. So we'll see how that shakes out. I can't wait to see how Bulls fans melt down or not over any win or not. But this game for the Chicago Bulls is probably the closest to a must-lose game. We'll talk about this a little bit more at the end of the show where we get into the game. But with that, you know, and wins and losses not being really the focus here for the Chicago Bulls, is it really comes down to what is, right? What are the Bulls looking for? What are they trying to get out the rest of the season? What are we looking at on the basketball court, right? We already know the tanking things. We know the lottery odds. We've gone heavily into that. It's going to be, you know, fun to talk about the draft this season, you know, but we'll see what happens after the draft lottery, which the draft lottery is about a month after the end of the Bulls season. So the Bulls' last game is like April 12th. I believe the draft lottery is May 11th or 13th, something like that. So basically exactly after a month after the season ends for the Bulls, we'll know where the Bulls are going to be picking in this draft. Now, the month between that is we're going to go heavily into our draft bag. We're going to talk about a lot of draft prospects and things like that. Then after that, we'll get into the specifics of where the Bulls are going to draft, where all their picks sit. You know, by then, we should know as well if the Bulls are going to have the Portland pick. Again, unlikely, right? They'll have the Portland pick, but we'll see what happens with that one. But I want to focus on this with the Chicago Bulls. I want to focus on this in this segment. When you look at what's the most important thing, other than losses, wins, whatever else, at the rest of the way of the season, it's the development of the young talent. It's the evaluation of the young talent, I just think, is a better way to word that than just saying the development, right? I don't know how much you can truly develop over the end, the 15 games over the end of a tanking season, right? You can refine some things, you can look some good, but it's about the evaluation of what's possible, right? The Bulls aren't going to win a lot of games the rest of the way. It is what it is, right? But, you know, there are a couple of things and a couple of pillars that we're still looking at. Of course, when you look at it, it comes down to Josh Giddey and Modest Mozeliak. That is the end-all, be-all. That is the first, the alpha, the omega. That is everything that's left to see what these guys are bringing to the Chicago Bulls over the remaining part of the season. That is the most important thing. I want to be clear here. There's nothing else that's as important as evaluating those young guys to see what they can bring to the Chicago Bulls team. That is it, right? And Modest and, for what it's worth, Modest and Josh Giddey have been having a really solid stretch here. I get it. You know, you have some people that talk about March Giddey and all that. I talked about that on yesterday's episode. One of the stupidest narrative things that I've ever seen that people really kind of stick to. But, you know, regardless of how you view the level of team that they're playing against or whatever's going on here, it's important to see those guys step in. One thing that we've seen with Modest is like him taking more shots, him being now in this time period where, because of injuries and because of where we are as a team, Billy Donovan's gotten a lot more experimental with rotations and lineups. And one thing that we've seen there is like Modest Muzelis is lined up from everything from the four to the two, right? Like, and so because of that, you're seeing a lot of different skills from Modest Muzelis, a lot of different things he's asked to do. Still not a lot of mid-range shots there though, right? But you know, Modest needs to develop and he needs to start taking more players off the dribble. The defense needs to be called out, right? Those type of things that are there. And you want the mentality that Modest Muzelis has to continue to grow for your team. And he's showing a lot of that right now. How much of that is going to convert over to the start of the season rather than the end of the tanking season? That's a fair question to ask. And people are definitely going to ask that question in regards to Modest. But, you know, it still comes down to, and I know a lot of people don't like hearing this, right? Modest still has not shown himself to be a star level player. And that's just the reality of it. You can make the case when people say that Josh Giddey's shown himself to be an all-star caliber player with the numbers that he's putting up. You know, if he was on a team that won and he didn't have the injury, would he have made the all-star? You know, there's a legitimate question for that conversation to have there. But when it comes to Modest Muzelis specifically, Modest is right now still a lot of potential. And we see that in him. And I still think there are some people, a smaller part of the fan base, though, that have this habit of seeing Modest as who they think he can become rather than who he is right now. And Modest still right now, still everything's at the three-point line or really at the rim. You know, he's not really taking players off the dribble as much. It has started a little bit more. I want to see him get to the free throw line a little bit more as well. And while the numbers will tell you that he's taking steps up defensively as far as an on-ball defender, talked about that, like as far as his defensive field goal percentage, he's actually one of the best, if not the best, one of the in isolation, that is. But he still needs to have better. He has too much length to not be as good of a pick and roll defender as what he is. Now, not all of that is going to solve itself here the last 15 games of the season. A lot of that's going to have to be what Modest works his ass off to achieve this offseason and come back with a deeper level of his bag next season. And that's what you want to continually see from Modest Muzelis. I said on a few episodes ago, that it's not about even next season and being the third year. It's really when you look around the 23, 24-year-old season, that's where you really want to see that by then. It doesn't mean it can't happen before then, but by that season, that's where you really want to start seeing Modest Muzelis have that leap and you can start saying, all right, maybe there is an All-NBA or All-Star level player or whatever that's here with him, or he can end up just being a damn good solid, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to be clear, there is nothing wrong that if Modest Muzelis ends up just turning into a damn good starter in the NBA, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It does mean some other things about what you have to do the rest of the way with the team, but there's nothing wrong if that's what Modest Muzelis develops into. You just got to see if he's going to do that. As far as Josh Giddey, it just continues to be Josh Giddey just being him when he's healthy and playing in his role. And that's really what it is. I think we've seen enough, even though some people like to doubt that. We've seen what Josh Giddey is. When Josh Giddey's allowed to play point guard and he's fully healthy, he's a 29-9 player. Right, and that's depending on the makeup of the team. Now, the scoring level may change depending on how many scores you have around him. Maybe instead of being a 29-9 player, let's say he ends up being a 16-10-10 guy, right? Because he doesn't have to do as much as the scoring load. That's perfectly fine, too. As a starting caliber point guard in this league, that's perfectly fine. Now, I'm not putting a cap on Josh Giddey. I just think that, you know, we've kind of seen such a stable baseline of who Josh Giddey is, and I mean that positively, when he's fully healthy and playing point guard, that you have enough to go off of and say, all right, bet we can bet on this level of production from Josh Giddey. Now, like I said, I've learned to never count a player out as far as their ability to refine and maybe add a little something more to their game. For Josh Giddey, it just becomes about limiting turnovers, becoming a better defender where you can, and I would say getting to the free throw line more. Those are three things, like I talked about before, that I really want to see from Josh Giddey. But again, over the rest of the way, it's about evaluating and the growth of Josh Giddey and Modest Muzelis. As far as a more traditional evaluation, though, it got to come down to Leonard Miller and Rob Dillingham. These are the two guys that you're really trying to evaluate. And even the fact that we're talking about a guy in Leonard Miller who was a second-round pick over somebody who was the fourth overall pick in a different draft, and we're talking about Leonard Miller almost at the same level of that, and for many people it's playing Leonard Miller over Patrick Williams, which we should be doing, that shows you that there's something there in Leonard Miller. Now, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid as much as some people where I'm like, he absolutely has to be part of the rebuild or anything like that. But you want to continue seeing, and we'll see where it comes. Now, there's a huge chance that Lyndon Miller's role is more of a bench guy next season than him being a starter. But for what it's worth, when he's starting the season, Lyndon Miller has put up, he's produced 4 games he started, right? In the last 3 games, 17 points, 11 rebounds that he had as well. You love to see that from him. 15 points, 9 rebounds against the Los Angeles Lakers. And then against the Clippers, 14 points and 8 rebounds. That was against the Clippers. So, you know, Lyndon Miller is showing and putting up production. What it, that means that it's worth the continued investment to see. And like I've said before, at minimum, I want Billy Donovan going in and saying, all right, Leonard, you're getting minutes. How many minutes is going to be dependent upon how well you're playing in any given game? I'm fine with that when it comes down for Lyndon Miller for the Chicago Bulls. It doesn't have to be Lyndon Miller's going in every game playing 25, 28 minutes. Let his play dictate that, because there may be some matchups where it's not. But then I'll say, even responding to that, is that when you look at it, we know who Patrick Williams is. And while people try to gas Patrick Williams up as far as the defensive impact has not been great. It just has not been great. Now, it has been better since the trade deadline, and I will give Patrick Williams that. But at the same time, it's still, you're still looking at Patrick Williams and you're just like, we know who he is. And at this point, P. Will is just a disappointing player.
Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cysta-Aid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cysta-Aid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And he's always going to be there. There's nothing that P. Will can do at this point to really turn it around for the Bulls. Can he turn it around maybe on another team? Maybe. Right? We'll see what happens there. But he has 3 more years left on his deal. And, you know, at this point, you know, some people say evaluate P. Will. We know who P. Will is. He's a very inconsistent player that's going to pass on some open shots, and he's going to look solid defensively sometimes. But Lyndon Miller is a guy that has already shown more aggressiveness, a better shot, a willingness to take a shot. And I'll just say that he's a two-way player as well. Now, is he the on-ball defender that P. Will is at times? No. Then again, we could also say, like, he just hasn't played a lot of games. So we'll see what happens with that for Lyndon Miller. As far as Rob Dillingham, though, right? Dillingham is a player that I still continue to think just does not look like an NBA-level talent. And I know he's had some 2 salad games in a row. And, you know, I'd love to be wrong about that. His passing is still the thing that stands out to me, not necessarily his scoring, but it still is worth investing in Rob Dillingham for these 15 remaining games to see. Because at the worst, it helps the tank. At best, maybe you help build his confidence up, and then he can ride that confidence into the offseason and come back more probably ready to contribute for you. So it's kind of a win-win scenario for the Chicago Bulls based off where this team currently is. If the Bulls were actually competing for a playing spot here over the last month of the season, then it'd be different, right? But because where we are in as far as, you know, maximizing our draft potential is the best thing anyway, I can't argue against people to say, well, play Rob Dillingham. Let's see what he has. At worst, we don't have anything in him, and it helps the tank. So I can't get mad at that. And then lastly, I would say this too. Jaden Ivey, which looks like he may be set to return here soon, it's still worth evaluating too, to see what that confidence in his leg is. You know, the Bulls doctors discovered something that they felt like was missed before. So now does that help Jaden Ivey kind of get back that confidence because they rested him a little bit more? We'll see. I mean, the benefit of it was that, like I said before, the numbers for Jaden Ivey weren't terrible. It was terrible when you watched him play and you saw how timid he was. And you could see that, you know, old J.I., right, would have easily probably had another 4 or 5 points per game based off the times that he just hesitated and did not penetrate and did not attack the defense. So, you know, you have that part of it. But, you know, for what it's worth, Jaden Ivey's averaging 11.5 points as a Chicago Bull. That's only through 4 games. He played 28 minutes. That's 12 minutes more than he was playing with the Detroit Pistons. So now if you rested him some, he also was averaging almost 5 rebounds and 4 assists for the Chicago. So, like, again, the numbers weren't terrible for Jaden Ivey. They weren't great either. So if you get a player in Jaden Ivey that already wasn't putting up absolutely terrible numbers, he has more confidence in the leg coming back if he does have that. Over the final 15 games, yeah, you can evaluate that. It's going to be a team-friendly deal anyway. I think if the Bulls do return Jaden Ivey to this team as a restricted free agent, it's going to be a team-friendly deal. It's probably going to be a shorter deal because he's probably going to want, and his agent's probably going to, you know, you know, advise him to take a shorter deal to prove that you are back healthy, and then let's go out here and get this money, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens with J.I. there. I'm not mad at still trying to evaluate J.I. to see what he can bring over the last part of the season, to see if he can build up that confidence going into an offseason too. But really, that's what you're looking at for the Bulls team. Like, it's not, no, Essanga isn't here. No, I know people are crazy about Yuki Kawamura, but I think we've seen Yuki Kawamura is going to be, you know, he's going to be a G League player. I think when you look at Mac McClung, who people have brought up as well, he's about to be the all-time leading G League scorer here in a second. He's not, you know, somebody you're evaluating either. And then, of course, you know, you have guys like Nick Richards, Yabusele. These, we know who these guys are, right? We know who they are when they're getting minutes. They're not really evaluating them for future tense, right? Like, cool, you may be looking at them to see if they're worth bringing back on a team-friendly investment as role players, but you're not really investing in that overall. But I want to end this segment by saying this one thing, right? There's one more evaluation that I would love to see AK and Eversley do that I know is probably not going to happen, and that's evaluating Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan needs to be thoroughly evaluated as, is he the coach that you want going forward for your rebuild? You're adding another lottery pick to this to go along with Modest, Noah Essanga, and who you're drafting this season. You're adding another lottery pick to this team. Do you really want Billy Donovan guiding the early stage of that player's development? Even if you do make the proper moves this offseason, which, you know, me and some other people do think that, you know, well, I can see the Chicago Bulls trying to get back to competing for a play-in next season. Do you want Billy Donovan to be that guy? I keep going back to Billy Donovan being one of the few coaches in professional sports who've been allowed to have losing record after losing record and keep returning back to the same team without his job being evaluated at all. Now, we did hear from Casey Johnson that the Bulls and Billy Donovan are going to sit down this offseason and they're going to talk about the future of the team, where they're headed, Billy Donovan's place in that. All those things are going to be talked about and discussed. I just hope that the evaluation comes out of that and they see Billy Donovan ain't the guy. But more than likely, Billy Donovan is going to be back for the Chicago Bulls, head coaching this team. I just really would love to say that I can trust this team to actually do an evaluation of Billy Donovan, because I don't think you do that evaluation. You come out of that saying, yeah, Billy's our guy. But hey, I've been wrong before. And, you know, if Billy Donovan is removed or he decides to, you know, walk away and goes to another situation, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing for the Bulls. We'll just see if the Bulls actually do that, which, again, admittedly, I don't really expect the Bulls to do. I just think that they should be evaluating Billy Donovan and his coaching staff for what's going to happen and where the Bulls are headed going forward. We'll see if they do that. If they do, great. If not, you know, it is what it is. I think most people expect Billy Donovan to be back. And, you know, for those that are saying as well, you can't wait for AK to be fired. If you really think AK is about to be fired after they let him reset the roster, again, that's another fan brain thing. It's not happening in reality. Arturas Karnisova is going to be on the job for another 5 years. Mark my words on that. He's going to be here for at least another 5 years. It may be another 9. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. He may hit that 15-year mark. I'm just going to be 100% honest with y'all on that one. But I said we were going to talk about this game to end the show. The Bulls take on the Memphis Grizzlies today. Again, a team that's 3.5 games ahead of the Chicago Bulls in the tanking standings, right? So this is a game where the Bulls could gain a game on them, right? Get that down to 2.5 games if you can lose to the Memphis Grizzlies. This is a team that's lost 7 in a row. They're due for a win at some point, you would think. But then again, you know how things go, and you already know how Bulls fans are going to tell. If the Bulls win tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies, there are going to be hat throws and crybabies all over the place whining about the Bulls winning this game. I'm just get y'all prepared for it, right? There's a slim chance anyway that the Bulls pass the Memphis Grizzlies in the tanking standings, but this is an important game if you want any chance to be able to do that, and we'll see if the Bulls can get that done. You know, ultimately, like I said, for me, it's difficult for me to root for losses. It's just a difficult thing for me to do. But I do recognize that it is in the Bulls' best interest to do so. We have another game against the Memphis Grizzlies as well at the end of the month on the 28th also. So those two games become hugely important for the Chicago Bulls if they want a chance to pass them up in the tanking standings and go from having a 20.3% chance at a top four pick to 26.3% chance at a top four pick. So we'll see what happens with this game. We'll be live before the game and after the game. I may even bring back the halftime hangouts for this one, because I'm sure there are going to be some Bulls fans ready to melt down. With that said, though, we got one voicemail that I want to get into to clear the inbox heading into a new week. This one's from Shay.
What's up, Hayes? You know, depending on where we draft, which I think is going to be around the 10th or 9th slot, if we do get a big man, what do you think about Hines Steinbeck? Look, I believe he might be an AK guy, because I think he's played overseas a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. And I think he could be what we need. Plus, he's not the plus. He's around 6'11 or 6'10, and that's AK draft pick. So I'm making a start to say be on the lookout for Hines Steinbeck, the rookie big man from Washington. I might be saying his name wrong, but that's who I think AK might draft if he drafts big man and where we draft it. Anyway, tell me what you think. Peace.
I don't mind Hans Steinbeck at all, right? I do think as things look at now in mocks, they're a bit of a reach, but mocks are mocks for a reason. The mocks are just, you know, I don't think mocks really take into consideration the needs of the teams until after the draft lottery. So, you know, Steinbeck is a perfectly solid player. I mean, he's projected by some mocks to go between 10 and 12, so it's not like a huge reach for him either. You know, at 6'11", 220 pounds, the guy's strong. The only thing that I have a concern about him with is the defense, right? Like, and not to say that he can't turn into a solid defender. He's averaging a block per game, which, again, blocks and steals don't mean good on-ball defense, but he's averaging a block. He's averaging a steal per game as well. He's a solid shooter also, right? So when you add that part, a good free throw shooter, really good defensive rebounder as well. The efficiency's there. So I don't hate it. And it's a 20-year-old player, so another young player as well. Steinbeck out of Washington would make a lot of sense for the Chicago Bulls to draft. The question just becomes about, I think the thing that a lot of people are on and I'm on at this point is it really just comes down to me is that who's the best player available regardless of position. Take the player that you feel like you can, that turns into a star, rather than draft for a position of need with how much that you have that you need on your team. But we'll see what's going to happen with that one. We'll see if they get it done. I won't say that they will draft him, but I'm not going to say that they don't either. We'll just have to wait and see. But that's it for today's episode, y'all. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central. As always, man, if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you guys like the video, subscribe to the channel as well. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. But I want to hear from you guys in the comment section as well. Should the Bulls focus on developing young talent and evaluating young talent the rest of the way? Or do you think there should be another focus in there somewhere? And do you think Leonard Miller should have a permanent role in the Chicago Bulls the rest of the way of the season? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. You can follow us at Bulls Central Pod. Send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullsCentralPod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. That's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.